Hello and welcome to the Prowess Climbing Coaching Training Podcast. Despite bouldering for 20 years, up to about 70 plus, I've never actually gone through a regimented training program before. That is, until now. Restricted by lockdown but driven by a desire to get straight back on my projects at the first opportunity, this time is right to finally get the fingerboard chalky, stretch out the TheraBands and to train at home. As a professional climbing coach, this seemed a great opportunity to look at this as a case study, a first-hand experience of completing a training program as a climber. And so I've decided to record a weekly podcast to keep you updated on how it's all going. The inspiration for the program has come from my friend Sally Lyle from Far Out Pursuits, who is also working on a very different training program of her own. She'll be joining me every week so we can chart progress, see if our exercises are working, that the sets and the reps are right, and crucially, to see whether we are sticking to our respective plans. More information will be available through my website, prowesscoaching.co.uk, where you'll be able to see the program I'm going through and even download templates to design your own, as well as accessing other resources to help you as a climber. So sit back, relax, and let us do the hard work and enjoy the next episode.
So in episode one, we are going to talk about how we designed the training programs that we're both on, why they're different. So we're about the different methods you could use for organizing your routine that might be available to you at home, and how to set goals, how to set smart goals that you can actually see working or not. Pete, tell me, how did we come up with this idea?
Well, it was your brilliant idea, and you got in touch and you said let's do a training regime, and I went, oh, I've never done one of them, and yeah, so we decided to come up with something. I've done bits and pieces of training before, but never really seriously, and I've never actually sat down and written it all down until today. Thanks for that. There's an hour of my life gone. So that was my plan. But mine's all based on what I call replication training. And I've written, there's an article about this on my website, where I take a goal that's a climb or one of several climbs, and then I copy the attributes of that climb into my training. So if my project involves big dynamic moves on small holds, then my training needs to involve big dynamic moves on small holds, or as close as you can get to replicate the forms of movement that you're going to be doing later. So that's what all mine's based around, but yours is based slightly differently, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, mine is through general improvement, really. It's for a few different purposes. I guess mine is still based on what my goals are. So the outcomes are, for me, hard trad and vertical sustained sport climbs. So I'd like to be able to get to the beginning of the good weather season when we'll all be released and be allowed to go climbing again and actually be in a fit state to actually hit the ground running, as it were. So that's why it's not one specific route. It's a sort of my general performance outcomes.
Yeah, so we've kind of gone in two different directions, really, where you've gone for a more generic and general improvement in an area of weakness, where I'm trying to attack my strengths and go down the route of the strengths that I've got to almost overtrain a little bit, so I'm stronger than the project. So when I come back to the project, I'm in better shape than I need to be. So that was kind of my goal and my plan, and then everything's been focused around that. You've got some other information from somewhere else, haven't we, as well, haven't you?
So this is going to be, while I have done training before, I've trained once before, and it was incredibly effective. It was ridiculous. So in 4 weeks, my grade jumped 3 when I actually tried training. So that, I should probably do that. And now I've actually got the opportunity to dedicate some research and some planning and to actually do it how I'm meant to, because I'm not working as much, and when I am working, it's not the normal outdoor instruction that I do, so that my body's quite rested. So if I'm going to maximize on actually being able to train, I might as well do it now. So if I'm going to be as successful as possible, then I figured I'd get a lot of information from a lot of everywhere else. So I got some advice and some climbing tools from Alex Fry, my friend who runs Hardwood Holds, and from Libby, my friend up the road, and how she specifically records what she does. I've looked at Ella from Lattice gave me a hand, and I'd written all of that, and I had had a plan of what worked well for me in the past, and what my specific weaknesses are. So what I enjoy doing, what I'm actually going to do, and then sent all of that information and went, okay, Neil Gresham, and I paid for him to write me a program. So all of that combined, it's sort of like a financial commitment, as well as a, like, it's sort of like a promise to myself seriously as well. So I've got information from everywhere, yes.
Sounds like you're a bit more switched on with this than me. I've kind of like gone, all right, okay, let's copy this down. But the one thing that I know that I've got, and the one struggle that I've got, is that I have a real lack of motivation to do this. I love climbing, but I love climbing movement. I don't enjoy the training side of things, and I never ever have. So I know that if I do something that's too rigid and too, or even too vague, then I tend to wane with it as well.
Have you got a plan of how you're going to motivate yourself so that you'll be successful?
Yeah, I was going to rely on you.
Nice, strong.
No, I've gone for 4 different days. So I've got Monday is like a power strength day, and then Tuesday is an aerobic training day, which gets me out of the house, which is always good. Thursday is then a HIIT workout, and then Friday I've got access to a local private board, so I can go and use the private board, but I haven't got it that often, so I'm going to restrict that to 1 day a week. Normally I'd be climbing, 80% of my training would be climbing, is what I normally recommend, it's what most people normally recommend, but given the circumstances, staying at home for 75% of it makes much more sense. But I'm hoping that variety is going to keep me interested. I think, like, that's the key for me. If I do the same thing, you want me to do 4 Beastmaker sessions in a week, I'm never going to do it. I'll do about 3 and then I'll get bored and go and wander off. So I'm hoping that doing something different will be enough to drag me through it and drag me off my backside. But then we can, obviously the podcast is going to help as well, because then we can review it every week. So we'll see how well we're doing.
Yeah, so I think that's absolutely bang on. You've addressed why you're gonna find it hard, gone variation, gone. It gets me out of the house. It gets me out of the house. I've organised it with my family already, and there's 4 different kinds throughout. It's gonna be bob on. The next thing that's gonna motivate us is I'm gonna research this, do it properly, commit to it, make it as successful as possible. But then I was like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna need social support. So when I saw you just in the wall before lockdown, it was like, yes, that's what I need. And so even if we can only do this on Zoom, we can just keep each other either accountable, psyched, and we can just keep on reminding ourselves of what this means at the end.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's what I've needed, like, there's that kick at the backside. So I climb on my own all the time. I'm really bad for just hiding away from everybody else and just doing stuff on my own. So having somebody else
to do something with, and somebody to go, have you done your exercises today? It's going to be that's going to be a massive step in the right direction. Normally, I'm totally self-sufficient.
With the other motivation, my motivation's different this time as well. That I think there are two key things that you can do, I can do, is helping each other socially, but we've got the goals that we've written and we've got the making them measurable, which we'll talk about later. But it's also phrasing it like, we both hate training, I don't want to put on a piece of wood. But it's kind of changing that to, and it's like, I've always been bad at it, I've never enjoyed it, all of my gains have been from doing other stuff. So it's sort of like actually just changing the, actually, I've got the opportunity, because it's really uncomfortable and I'm not able to do the things that I normally do, actually, I'm going to do this and I'm not going to hate it. I'm actually going to really flip and enjoy it. I'm going to feel really powerful and really proud and it's going to be brilliant.
It's really funny you saying that, because like when I was, I obviously had to do a bit of research on like HIIT exercises, because I had no idea, I've never done it before. Like, what on earth is a HIIT exercise? So I was searching for, I knew some obviously, but searching through to try and find some that worked on the muscle groups that I wanted to work on. And all of a sudden I'm like scrolling through and I'm going, this looks really cool. I'm really looking forward to it. Maybe I should start this now. You go, no, don't start doing bicycle curls and bicycle crunches in the middle of the garden. No, it's a bad idea. No, just like write it down. But it's, yeah, I mean, you're right. Like if you get, once you get into it, it can be quite good. And I think doing it with somebody else and doing it, this is the other thing. With a lot of the research that I'd done was all the training plans seem to go over a period of months, and they seem to wax and wane through a period of months to give you that super compensation theory and all that sort of thing. Whereas we've kind of gone for a repeated pattern, haven't we? Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but as soon as the walls open up, then this is going to change drastically, because I'm going to be in the walls both working and climbing, which is going to change the dynamic of how I'm having to go about this. So
it's a bit different for me.
At the moment. So.
Yeah, so the other good thing about the, I'm waiting for a knee operation at the moment. So as soon as I have that knee operation, I won't be able to have it weight bearing. And so what that means is I need to come up with how to adjust my training regime so I can't fall off and twist my leg or do anything like that. So actually mine's pretty, I'm pretty comfortable that I know what my limitations were going to be, and it was so cool. It was really nice to work or to have some back and forth when I was working out how I could adapt it with Gresham as well. My friend Sharon lent me a turbo, and I know it's the best thing I could possibly do for my knee, but just like you're saying, oh, I don't like training, I've never done it. I'm like, flipping despise static bikes. It's like systematically taking all the fun out of mountain biking. So it's like, why would I do that? And it's like, right, it's because I need to fix my knee. And then even more, it's like, okay, I do this warm-up that's good for my knee, and I get rewarded by this training session. And the training session, I've been finding, actually pulling onto a thing that got me excited before. And now it's like, because I haven't been climbing for so long, it's the doing a half crimp and pulling on. It's like this motor, it's this strange connection in my brain with this muscle memory of, that means you're happy. So it's like, I can reward myself for doing the turbo trainer, and I'm not allowed to do any climbing training until I've done all my physio exercises. So yes, So a little bit different for me. So my climbing regime will not change dramatically when the climbing wall's open.
So I've got a Beastmaker and a ring session. So I've got in the house equipment that I've got in the house. So I've got two fingerboards, a Beastmaker and a Moonboard, either side of a door frame. I've got some rings that hang out of the kitchen ceiling, which I'm really lucky to have. And then other than that, there's nothing really that's really training specific. I've got a skipping rope and some TheraBands, and that's about it. Like I say, I've got access to this private board once a week or so. To be honest, most of my stuff was going to be focused on finger strength on the fingerboards. I was going to use the rings for dynamic pole power moves, you know, sort of like big bicep-y type moves. And then the rest of it was all going to be core exercises on the floor and lots of floor exercises. My HIIT workout for Thursdays is skipping, mountain climbers, bicycle crunches, leg raises on the fingerboard, hanging off the fingerboard, and then sit-ups and press-ups. So most of it's floor exercises, to be honest.
So with your routine, you've picked that 2 days on, 1 day off, 2 days on, 2 days off.
Yeah.
Why have you picked that? And have you structured one training session to be before another intentionally?
I kind of structure it so that, like, because obviously the power strength training is all going to be upper body and fingers, and it's going to be quite hard work, whereas the run is a different kind of hard work. So I'm hoping, and I'll find out, but I'm hoping that because I'm using such vastly different muscle groups that my body's not fatigued from Monday into Tuesday. And likewise with the HIIT training into the climbing session, I'm hoping that I'm not exhausted from the HIIT too much to affect the climbing training. But especially as a HIIT routine will be quite short anyway. So I've kind of tried to fit them in such an order that they don't impact on each other. I wouldn't do like a fingerboard day into a climbing wall day. That would be just asking for trouble and, quite frankly, asking for injury. So, yeah.
Yeah, the one time I did training, that were I found that setup really really useful. So having a strength day that I needed to be as rested as possible, and then an anaerobic day, and then having the aerobic day, and then a full rest. It worked really well. But I've organised it a bit differently. I say I have. Gresham has set me a different sort of layout, which I'm really, really happy about. Because I've got access to fewer training things, so it's going to be a little bit more repetitive. But I really like that because it's tying me to a routine. So what he's sort of worked out for me is really similar to what I used to do, but in a slightly different structure. So it's a fingerboard session and then a something else session, and then a fingerboard session and then a something else session. And then so I get to train every single day. I get up, I do some exercise, I get some endorphins, I clear my head, and I can work really well. So it's going to be really good for my well-being, particularly when I'm stuck at home a lot. So I'm quite excited about that. And what he sort of planned on the rest days, just like you said, you're kind of working on different groups of muscle, different objectives thing, but it's not fingerboard, 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 fingerboard. Oh, you've got an injury. it's pretty bob on.
I mean, I've gone for full on rest day more to stave off divorce than anything else, I think. if I'm trying to train every day, then sooner or later I'm going to upset somebody. But
yeah,
I mean, there's that I don't know if you've seen it, the Climbing Bible. It's a new book from a couple of Norwegian guys, Martin Nordbratten and Stian Kristoffersen. And in there, they talk about total load, and it takes into account all the other stuff that's going on in your life at the same time. You know, how heavy is your job? Are you, and all this sort of stuff all factors into the training you're doing and how much it's actually going to exhaust you.
Lattice does that as well.
Mm. And then, of course, we've got the aspect of charting progress and how we're going to measure progress. Because we were saying about this being a weekly podcast so we can chat about how well it's going and things like that. But I know that you were really keen to have something that you could measure your progress on.
I've taken metrics of how much I weigh at the moment and how my flexibility is. And I've taken how long I can hold on to a 15mm edge and how long 25mm edge, because they're the edges I've got. So they're pretty, like, there you go, that's how much you can do. And that means that in two weeks time, I can do that test again and go, hooray, it's working. Because normally I'd go climbing and I'd go, brilliant, I feel stronger, or I've climbed half a grade harder or whatever. But I can't really do that at the moment. So it's sort of like a much easier measurable way of going. It's certainly having an effect. But it does make sense that it would be.
Yeah, you've gone down the more scientific route with it and the more measured and calculated version, where I've gone the other way, all to do with intrinsic feedback and how I feel, basically. And on that training plan, I've got some tabs across the bottom, one for each week, with a colour code. And the idea is that I'll go through the plan and colour in depending on how hard it felt. So it was 5 different colours, if I remember rightly. I'll get it up on the screen.
I'm doing the same as you with the measurements of things in the evening, in the evening. It's Libby writes her training down. It's really, really lovely. She writes the details down, and then you get a smiley face, and it's like the degree of how happy you feel on it. And so I was thinking of doing, because of the, I heard about it from Lattice, and you heard about it from this Norwegian book, I can't remember the name of.
Climbing Bible.
Climbing Bible, about training load. So I was going to write down in my training journal. So you've got it all online, which is really cool and nice because you get to share it. I'm getting old-fashioned, so I've got a really nice book that I like the look of. It's really, really pretty. It's got a nice leaf and on the front that makes me really happy. So I've got this training book that I'm going to write in once a day after the session of charting the progress and the reps, and before I put it in, of rested I am. 1 to 10, how energized. 1 to 10, how rested. So the energized can be like how I've had the food, the load previously during the day, the whatever, the what time of the month it is for me, the whatever it is. And then the other one is that the rested is sort of like tied in. I think I feel like they're the same thing, but they feel slightly different. So I was going to write both anyway. Mm. And then at the end of the session, I was going to do smiley face and amount of effort I put in, because at the moment, because I know that's one of my biggest weaknesses. And Dave McLeod talks about this a lot. You have to train yourself how to try hard, especially because I know this is good, but I don't tend to get injured because I always work in my comfort zone of I leave a little bit in reserve. But when you're actually training, you've got to try hard. I watched Hazel climb, and it's just mind-blowing how much effort she puts in. I was like, I wish I could try that hard. So I think this is going to be really good for that as well, because I can record it every day. How hard did I try and pull on that little edge of wood?
We shall see. I'm intrigued to see how this goes. I'm intrigued to see how orange my sheet is by next week. So yeah, as you mentioned, just to point out, I put a copy of the training regime that I came up with for the week. That's available to view on the website, prowesscoaching.co.uk. And there's also a blank version of the sheet, so you can download that as a downloadable Excel form if you wanted to use that to start off your own training regime as well. So there's resources online on the website to be able to help you if you so desire going down the route of copying what I'm up to more than what Sally's up to, but we'll give some updates on progress as well. And like I said, we're going to do this as a weekly podcast, so the next episode will be roughly next Sunday or Monday, I think. Any predictions?
Prediction is, it depends if I happen to have surgery, I think.
My prediction is that you won't get surgery in the next week.
Yes, I think that's a good prediction, but I'm still feeling optimistic. Happy I've got this routine that starts my day, and I don't hate using the turbo as much as I thought I did. I'm really hopeful that they are my take-homes from this week. It's just that I've stuck to the plan. I enjoy the morning routine of getting up and doing it. Yeah, that wonderful, wonderful physio.
Yeah, I think I'm in a similar position. I'm hoping that on the next episode I can come back, and I'm not so worried about competing, more completing. I hope that I can get to the end of the week and go, yeah, I actually did everything that I thought I was going to do. And they're all pretty much on the money for where I need to be. So
I know we'll be doing the podcast in the next week. Do you think you need any more? Would it be for us to touch base before next Sunday? Or is that you've got a plan, you're going to go for it, and we'll catch up on Sunday?
No, I'm definitely expecting to text regularly during the week and go sort of like, how's it going? Have you done your horrible one yet?
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'll harass you then.
Yes, do harass me. I was planning on texting you and going sort of like, how's your Thursday session going or whatever? So best of luck with the training.
Thank you. You too. Well, I'll harass you tomorrow.
This podcast was produced by Prowess Climbing Coaching and Far Out Pursuits and featured Pete Edwards and Sally Lyle. Edit was by Pete Edwards. For more information on the topics discussed, or for help in designing your own training program, please visit prowesscoaching.co.uk. And remember to tune in for the next episode.